This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this fine Saturday afternoon, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And with me to manage your life is the person who manages the mic with me, Carrie Kasem.
That's me.
That is you, Carrie. And you can see I'm fired up today.
I can see it. I mean, it started from the minute you walked through the door.
Well, actually, I'm on a date, so that's maybe why I'm fired up.
I was
going
to say that, too, the hot date with your...
hot date. With my four-year-old daughter, Harper, she wanted to do a date at the radio show.
So cute.
And she fell asleep on the way here. She was sleeping in the car, and I had to wake her up, but she did great. She's watching Curious George now.
She's adorable. I mean, she's so cute. I saw her, like, she was so tired on you, and then when you put on Curious George, she was real excited.
Yeah, she's excited. So she's enjoying her date, as I'm enjoying the date, even though you're kind of a third wheel, Carrie.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, I know you are.
Now I am.
We are going to go afterwards to get some ice cream, so I'm sorry I'm going to have to cut you out of that part of it.
That's okay. I don't need it anyway, but I know it'll be fun. That was the best thing with my mom. My dad wasn't a big sugar guy, but when my mom took me to the ice cream parlor, that was like the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's what Harper is counting on, because her mom doesn't take her too often.
Yeah.
But daddy does. So there's so much going on these days, and I want to talk a little bit about workers' compensation, something that I do for a living. A lot of people who listen to the show know that I'm a workers' compensation attorney, but I don't think that's really what's important today and with the issues that I want to talk about. Because I want to talk about corruption in government, and I want to talk about corruption in the media. It just happens that the topics involve workers' compensation issues, but you really, you know, nobody really cares about workers' compensation. In fact, this morning when Nancy was making me some blueberry muffins and some pancakes, she was doing all kinds of blueberry stuff this morning, and for the kids mainly.
Yeah.
And she said, no one wants to listen to you talk about workers' compensation.
Unless you've been injured and unless you need it or a family member's been injured. Nobody cares. I mean, the same thing with elder abuse. It's unfortunately true. But what's going on can affect so many people. And I think it's great that you're bringing this injustice out and creating awareness for it.
Right. And that's very true unless it affects you. But I'll tell you, corruption affects all of us. Corruption in the government, corruption in the media affects all of us. Regardless of what your interests are, they may not be with workers' compensation right now, but there are things that corruption affects that affect you. So let's talk about a couple of things. And by the way, later on the show, we're going to welcome to the show Monique Olivier, who is the attorney who fought at the Supreme Court on behalf of Dana Hassel, Hassel versus Byrd case. And that's the Yelp case where one of Hassel's clients, she's a lawyer, and one of her clients, Ms. Byrd, Ava Byrd, wrote a really defamatory, bad review of Hassel Services, and she sued her client and won about $500,000 in a defamation lawsuit, and then told Yelp to take the review down. Yelp said, no, we don't have to do that. They went all the way to the Supreme Court, and unfortunately, Ms. Hassel lost. Monique Olivier, who was representing her, will be on the show later to talk about why Yelp did not have to take down the defamatory review of a lawyer.
Can they appeal?
Appeal to where? To God?
Is there any other thing? There's
after
no appeals.
The Supreme Court?
Yeah, there's nothing. They can't even appeal. Like, hey, guys, this is wrong.
The Supreme Court of California. I mean,
you can't go any higher.
It could be a case that ultimately gets to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Right.
But
so
in terms
they do.
Of California law.
Right.
The Supreme Court of the United States is not going to rule on California law. So, but it's an interesting issue that affects a lot of people, especially attorneys and doctors who have professional relationships with their clients, and they can't really talk about the client, attorney, or the doctor, patient relationship, privilege, confidentiality.
Right. But doesn't...
Can we talk about this later, Carrie?
We can, but I want to know. Does Yelp go across this country so that it could go federal?
Ask Monique when she's on later in the show.
Fine.
Let's talk about Governor Brown now. Here's where the corruption is, maybe. And of course, I'm just saying allegedly, but recently, Governor Brown appointed a new commissioner to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board. Now, the WCAB is kind of like the Supreme Court. You talked about Supreme Court of claims for injuries in the state of California. So you have a commissioners who sit on the board, and they ultimately determine they're the ultimate arbiter for any claims that go to trial, and then they get appealed to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board. You would think that you have the finest lawyers, the finest judges on the appeals board. Right now, there's only four of them that are sitting. There's supposed to be seven, but Governor Brown hadn't appointed two or three more, and there's a strange part of the labor code that allows him to appoint non-lawyers for two of the positions. So what did he do when the WCAB is so shorthanded? He appointed Juan Pedro Gaffney, who is not confirmed yet. The Senate must confirm, but as a Democrat and with the Democratic Senate, looks like they'll probably approve him unless people open their eyes and ask for an investigation. So what's the deal with Juan Pedro Gaffney? So last week we talked about the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and we talked about his credentials, federal judge, Yale College, Yale Law School, and whether you believe in his politics or whether you believe in his judicial decisions or not, very qualified. Let's talk about Gaffney. 80 years old. High school friend of Governor Brown. In fact, Work Comp Central wrote an article titled Governor Taps High School Classmate to Fill WCAB Vacancy, and then talked about the position, which pays $147,778 a year for this 80-year-old guy, and he brings to the job, and I'm quoting Work Comp Central, more than 40 years of experience directing a chorus in San Francisco.
This is so asinine. I can't believe it. I don't get it. 80 years old, fine, whatever. There are people in their 80s, 90s, and in their hundreds that are still with it and working. I know. I work with them. They're amazing. But to have an 80-year-old man whose entire life has been spent doing something else besides...
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
He was the director of Coro Hispano de San Francisco, which on their website says they're dedicated to exploring and performing the choral literature of peoples of Latin America, Spain, and Portugal. Now, I have people who have been seriously injured, catastrophically injured on the job, who require justice, and we're having, apparently, according to Governor Brown, his 80-year-old buddy, who they went to St. Ignatius College Prep School together, a Jesuit high school in San Francisco in 1955, he is now being put in this position. Last year, the governor said he could be on the Alcohol Beverage Control Appeals, which is a job that only pays $25,000, and it's about licensing of beverages, beverage control appeals. This is affecting all of the injured workers in the state of California, and there's been so much said about this. We're not sure exactly, and I can't say for sure what has happened, but there was some talk that maybe, just maybe, someone overheard him saying that he had house payments and went to the governor, and the governor said, I'll help you. I'll take care of it. And what does he get? An appointment to the highest judicial or quasi-judicial administrative body of the state of California to determine very, very complicated workers' compensation laws pursuant to the labor code. This is what our government is about. This is what Governor Brown is about. So we asked the comment from the governor's office, and here is the comment. I understand you reached out regarding the appointment of Juan Pedro Gaffney. For all appointed positions, the governor's office works to select the most qualified individual from a diverse pool of candidates. signed Ali Bey, Deputy Press Secretary, Governor Jerry Brown.
Cut and paste to everybody who has a question about this man. That is the cut and paste to everyone.
Our producer, Genevieve Wong, followed up with questions for Ali Bey about most qualified, what his qualifications are, being a choir director. And, of course, we got no response. That was it.
Maybe we should have him on for the, what's that, what's the singers-in-law?
The singers-in-law. He probably would be great. Gary Green, the barrister's symphony, would, we could, he would be excellent at
that. His next birthday.
You know, when we did the California Applicant Attorneys Association convention last month, I personally invited the new appointee, Juan Pedro, I think likes to also be called John Peter Gaffney, to appear with the other commissioners, but he didn't respond, so. Anyway, I just don't know. I think there needs to be an investigation. The Senate, if they're going to approve this, I think people need to speak up and say something saying, we need qualified people. I don't care what their leanings are, but we need qualified people. I've worked too hard, too long to learn law, and I'm going to be writing petitions, appeals to this commissioners, to the commissioners at the WCAB, and he's not going to understand a word that I'm talking about.
So they're going to have to, I guess the other people on this commission are going to have to literally dumb it down into layman's terms and say, this is what's going on.
And you know, nothing against an 80-year-old guy, but, you know, the motivation to learn from the other commissioners, and the commissioners are overworked as it is. There's only four of them. How are they going to do his work as well? Come on. Let's not allow this in our government. Cronyism.
It is. Here's the thing. If this is Democrat, right? We're in a very blue state. You think if a Republican did this, do you know how up in arms people would be? Do you know how up in arms?
Right, because he's a Democrat. And, you know, it has nothing to do with the politics. It has to do with justice for injured workers, getting a fair shake. That's all we care about. And the commissioners who are on the commission, right, on the WCAB right now, have had long-standing careers in workers' compensation and in other forms of law. Some of them have been on the commission for many years. They've been judges. They've been lawyers. And they take it very seriously. Governor Brown, apparently you don't take workers' compensation very seriously. It's a slap in the face to all injured workers, which a lot of them are Democrats. You're slapping your own folks in the face by doing this. Let's see what happens, whether Juan Pedro will get affirmed, whether the Senate will pass through this appointment or not. And apparently the governor's trying to do it very quickly so that this controversy doesn't come to light. He's a lame duck governor, and this is just lame what he's doing. All right, we're going to talk about the LA Times article now. Last Sunday, and I got to take a quick break, but before the break, I want to tease this. Last Sunday in the LA Times, there was an article written, workers claim injuries all over their bodies for big payouts, but continue their active lives. Just another one of the slam every injured worker, slam workers' compensation, but there are some real problems with this article, and that's why we talk about corruption in the media. It's the LA Times. It was written by Jack Dolan. Jack Dolan appeared this week on Doug McIntyre's show right here on KBC, McIntyre in the Morning. I tried to get on the show to present the other perspective. They refused. I tried to get Jack Dolan on our show. Genevieve Wong worked very hard. He said he wasn't available. It wasn't available. We said we'd make time. It wasn't today. It would be another time. But no, he won't come to talk about it. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what he said and how he may have purportedly, perhaps, manipulated the story. And that's why we are subject to corruption in the media. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the LA Times article. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Executive Limousine. Since 1979, the preferred choice for all corporate and leisure transportation. Professional, discreet, reliable, and on time for every meeting or event. Their service never sacrifices comfort or convenience. They can accommodate intimate to large corporate parties and coordinate every detail so you can relax in style. Executive Limousine. Outstanding service since 1979. Call 310-823-LIMA or go to executivela.com.
We all have issues, so let's start talking.
In Your Right Mind is a new weekly behavioral health show that focuses on issues that pertain to just about everyone.
Join me, Dr. Tonmoy Sharma, and my co-host, Christina Kusner as we highlight topics that get people talking.
In Your Right Mind is every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Saturday mornings at 7, back by popular demand, it's the Real Estate Zone with Danny Batsalkin. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, learn the strategies and secrets from the pros. That's Saturdays at 7, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That dollar in your pocket? It's worth more than you think. Because at Wendy's, a dollar's all you need to pick up the new Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. Hey, you deserve the most bang for your buck. Now you got it. Hot, crispy chicken topped with melty Monterey Jack and creamy Buffalo Ranch sauce. With this much flavor in one sandwich, a dollar's worth more than ever. The Dollar Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. More flavor, $1. For a limited time at Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's, price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Just a small town. Oh, yeah. Don't stop believing. I will tell you, sometimes you do stop believing when you read articles that aren't necessarily accurate or true, or are very selective in the information that is provided to the public. You may stop believing.
Yes.
Even though you want to sing that right now. Come on, Carrie, do it.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you got to. Don't stop
believing. I cannot. Steve Perry is one of the best
voices. Here we go.
You have to sing with me then.
Okay. Let's get it going.
But... okay, but the chorus isn't there.
There's too much instrumental
yeah,
here.
So yeah, see, I'm saved here. Thank God.
Come on, Layla, get to the good part.
We're good.
Come on.
We're good.
Don't
stop
believing.
In.
All right, we got to talk about this LA Times article. So it came out last Sunday. It was on the cover of the LA Times, and it was titled, Workers Claim Injuries All Over Their Bodies for Big Payouts but Continue Their Active Lives. It was Jack Dolan. And by the way, do you see the shirt that I'm
I do. I
okay,
love
what
it.
What does it say?
Okay, hold on, because it's so funny. It says, I hate insurance companies and they hate me.
Right. I hate insurance companies and they hate me. And at the bottom, what does it say? What law firm?
Oh, Jack Dolan.
No, it doesn't say Jack
Dolan. Wait, I can't see it. I can't see it.
I can't step up because I'm going to
lose the mic.
All right, here,
hold
I'm going to step
up. Hold on, just look up real quick.
I'm jumping.
Okay. Dolan Law Firm.
Yeah, it's called the Dolan Law Firm. So Jack Dolan wrote the article. We tried to get him on the show. Wouldn't come on the show. he talked about how now in the workers' compensation arena that the claims are increasing. The number of body parts and conditions that are being claimed in workers' compensation are increasing. Now, he's trying to make a point regarding police and fire, police officers and firefighters, because that's what it's about, the examples of fraud, and we hear it all the time. No one condones fraud in workers' compensation. Believe me, I'm the strongest that way because it only affects my legitimately injured clients. So I am very much against it, but why do we always focus on it in the news? Two people, one's a firefighter, one is a police officer, former police officer. And, they got caught for some fraud, and then he extends it to all of the injuries that the claims are increasing for more body parts and conditions. What he writes, which, the DIR is the Department of Industrial Relations, had something to say about this. He writes, in fact, claims involving at least 5 injured body parts have become by far the most common in California, according to a Times data analysis of millions of workers' compensation cases spanning nearly 3 decades. Okay, remember that. I feel like I'm cross-examining someone right now. Then he writes in the article, the response from injured workers, their attorneys and doctors is clear in data from the State Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, which hears cases involving disputed claims. In 2004, the board reviewed 16,000 claims with five or more body parts. By 2016, the number had more than doubled to 38,000. So we contacted the Department of Industrial Relations. This is what they say. This is their official comment. DIR, Department of Industrial Relations Communications, last month advised the LA Times reporters that the data in EAMS, that's the electronic filing system, is not consistent year to year as it includes information from older online systems brought into EAMS when it launched in 2008. The older data was entered by staff manually and the information collected was limited. While the data fields expanded over time, they do not match the data fields in EAMS. Body parts are listed in many pre-EAMS cases, but not all workers' compensation laws. But not all. Workers' compensation laws changed over time, which resulted in changes to the information reported and collected. So they're basically warning the LA Times that the data isn't accurate.
It's not right, but they did not, of course, did not disclose that.
They didn't
disclose
that.
Of course,
didn't
say, hey, listen, this is the what we're getting now. The other, it's very limited. How do you do that?
If you're, I don't know
if
how they
you
do
know,
it.
If you're a reporter, you're supposed to be reporting on the facts.
The facts, not fake news.
Yeah.
And then what he does is he talks about an attorney, Julie Sherman, Strasser and Sherman, who represented one of the police officers who apparently was accused of fraud, and he talked about all these bad things. And again, we're not condoning it. They're bad apples. But then he says, he referred to the several doctors, that's Hall, the police officer, former police officer, with the assurance that they would support your claim. Sherman declined to comment. So it says Sherman declined to comment. Well, in my hands, I have emails that she sent to Mr. Dolan with comments.
I want to hear it.
I'm not going to say them. I mean, it's not relevant at this point. But how do people get away with it? She said
it's just lies.
Regardless of what the comment is, you don't make it look like the attorney did not comment. If she gave, even if it was four or five sentences, it was some kind of an explanation.
Right, right.
And of course, there are explanations for why body parts, which he doesn't go into because he doesn't understand it. For those of us who have been working in this industry for 25 years, we understand why things have changed, because when they try to decrease the amount of benefits available to injured workers in 2004, after Governor Schwarzenegger passed the law, it changed to a system called AMA guides, American Medical Association guides. When you did those guides, it changed from work restrictions. So now the ratings are not based simply on work restrictions, or two words, no heavy work, that's three words, or no heavy lifting, sedentary. All of that stuff was in the old system. Now they break down all the body parts and conditions, and they talk about things like range of motion, gait, blood pressure. All of these are impairments. So it forces the attorneys to talk about individual symptoms versus one condition, which in the previous system allowed for a rating based on that. So there needs to be a lot of explanations. And did Mr. Dolan put everyone who or comments about other people who he interviewed? Let's find out. On the phone right now, we have Robert Sherwin. Bob Sherwin is a very well-known attorney in the city of L.A. He's been with the firm Lewis Merenstein, Wickie Sherwin, and Lee for many, many years. He's a super lawyer. He represents a lot of the police force and a lot of firefighters. He knows what he's talking about. He was interviewed by Jack Dolan. Bob, welcome to Gervie's Law. Bob.
Pleasure to be here.
There you are.
There we go.
Don't tell me you're on the baseball field and you're between innings.
I'm not.
Okay, that's the first, because Bob happens to be a really great, great baseball player. Tell us about your experience when you were interviewed by Jack Dolan for this article. And by the way, none of your comments are in the article.
That's true. I was interviewed by him. He called me and wanted my comment. And I spent probably an hour on the phone with him. And I spent an hour on the phone with him. I followed up with him with a couple of phone calls, providing him with additional information and statistics. I followed up with an email. He did return one call to me and got my voicemail and left a message. But I called him back and then got his, et cetera. And after spending a full hour and providing him with a wealth of information, which, in my opinion, refuted most of what he was putting in the article, of course, none of my comments were in there. None of the information I provided to him was in there. And unfortunately, you know, the article is what it is. I refer to it as, I hate to use the word, fake news. When he and his partners wrote an article 3-4 months ago on LAPD and LA City Fire and the so-called abuse in cumulative trauma claims in the DROP program, I was not interviewed. I was called by him or by his associate at four o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday afternoon, and a message was left on my work phone asking me to contact them to comment on an article that was coming out the next day. So they really didn't want my comment. And,
apparently not, Bob. But what I want is I do want your comment. Tell us what you said to Jack when he was talking about what he was going to write, because there's a former associate of yours who was quoted who flip side. He used to work with Strassner and Sherman. He worked at Lewis Merenstein, Paul Young, and he said that, you know, injured workers' attorneys are just filing all these multiple claims. What did you respond to that?
First of all, he rattled off the statistics that you just commented on that he allegedly got from combing through the system, et cetera. I told him that I did not believe his numbers were correct and that I would get back to him with what I believe the correct numbers were, which I did. And then when I called and he finally called me back, he said, well, I'm not really focusing on cumulative trauma injuries. And I said, but that's what you told me you were, and that they were up in number. And he said, no, I'm really focusing on injuries with multiple body parts. And he said, you know, we don't understand why there's a significant increase. And I said, well, there's not a significant increase. And they.
Bob, where did you go? What happened to Bob? Well, apparently he was going to say something about not having a significant increase in the multiple body parts and the conditions. And we'll get Bob back because I want to hear the end of it. One of the things before we go to break I do want to mention is people always want to trash workers' compensation. Do they understand what the alternative is? If we don't have workers' compensation where insurance pays for injuries on the job, then companies can get sued. It's called the grand bargain. It happened over 100 years ago with negotiations, and they said, we're going to set up a system of workers' compensation where insurance will pay for this, and there's all kinds of regulations and laws, things limiting the damages to companies because it protects the companies from being sued and going into civil court and having a jury come against them for millions of dollars, effectively closing their businesses.
And losing all of those people that have had jobs. Like, all the people have lost jobs. Everybody loses jobs. It's worse for the economy. So you have to have workers' comp.
Not only
worse
for the economy, but for individuals,
yes,
the companies that employ these people. So would you rather have, you want to trash workers' compensation? Would you rather have a system where every company is going to go to business because they're going to get sued for an injury? We're going to talk more, hopefully, to Bob Sherwin. I think he's going to be back, but we need to take a break. We're going to talk more about the LA Times article from last Sunday after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. And we'll be right back.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News. I'm Joe Myers. The Trump administration announced plans to invite Russian President Vladimir Putin to the White House sometime in the fall. Correspondent Ryan Nobles has more.
Right now, the White House is being very vague as to exactly when that meeting is going to take place, what the topics of discussion will be, and why the reason that the president would even extend this invitation of Vladimir Putin to begin with. Of course, this comes on the heels of us not getting all that much information as to exactly what was discussed between the two presidents at their summit in Helsinki.
Los Angeles Unified School District officials have reached a tentative 3-year contract that would raise salaries by up to 6% for roughly 2,500 principals and other administrators. The deal must still be approved by 2 votes set for August. 790 KABC SoCal weather today, sunny and a high near 85. It's 80 in Santa Ana, 73 in Torrance, 81 degrees in downtown LA. More news in 30 minutes on 790 KABC, home of the 30-minute nonstop news blitz. All the best stories and smart insights weekdays at 8, noon, and 4. I'm Joe Myers, KABC News.
Personal loans offered in California only. Some conditions apply. California details. Loans are made or arranged pursuant to a California financing law license. Need some extra cash? Well, if you need $2,500, $3,500, or even $4,500, turn your radio up. Money Mart provides personal loans to consumers right here in California. Now you can call and see how fast we can get you approved for the cash loan you need. That's right. Dial **4500 on your mobile phone now and get the cash you need faster than you ever thought possible. Dial **4500 to see how much you qualify for. $2,500, $3,500, or even a $4,500 cash loan now. Use your loan to consolidate debts, pay bills, repair your car, or help move into that new place. Just have an up-to-date bank statement, last pay stub, and a valid ID, and you may qualify for the loan you need now. Dial **4500. That's **4500 and see how fast we can help you get the cash you need. Just dial **4500. **4500.
Why won't a plumber just tell me what it costs to unclog my drain over the phone? Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. It makes no sense at all. They obviously have a price.
Whoa, you've got a nice aroma. Who are you?
Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber.
Will you tell me how much to unstop my drain?
$99.
But you haven't seen it.
Don't need to. Doesn't matter if it's a kitchen sink or a mainline sewer stoppage. The Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond will unclog almost any drain for $99.
Almost?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but you can read all about them on our website before you call. Just go to thesmellgoodplumber.com.
Wow, you're like up front and everything. I just called a guy named Bubba who wouldn't tell me anything.
No Bubba's here, ma'am. Just professional plumbers who show up on time, smell good, and unclog drains for $99.
Call us, 1-800-446-MIKE. Contractor license number 399170.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Love is only true in fairy tales.
Yeah. Is this another Believer song?
I think so.
What's Layla doing to us?
She's pretty good.
She's very good, but yeah. She's trying to make me believe, and I'm stopping my belief.
We have to have a thing that's not believing.
Wait, like, what is... Okay, sing it, Carrie.
Her face. Come on.
Now I'm a believer. Out of my mind.
I don't believe her. Okay. If I
I don't believe the LA Times. I don't believe the LA Times. I don't believe Jack Dolan.
I can believe it. I
don't believe any of them. Yeah. We can't believe anything in the media anymore. And we are talking about the article that appeared in the front page of the LA Times last Sunday. And it was called Workers Claim Injuries All Over Their Bodies for Big Payouts But Continue Their Active Lives. Before he had to go up to bat, we were talking to Bob Sherwin, who is a principal, super lawyer, and a partner at Lewis Merenstein, Wiki, Sherwin, and Lee. And he was telling us about being interviewed for this article. Yet, Bob, I guess Jack didn't want to put anything in the article that you said. What did you say that really pissed him off?
Well, I'll tell you two things that I told him, and I guess I didn't piss him off. I guess he didn't want to hear anything that wasn't going to go to support his position and sell newspapers on an article that badmouths all injured workers. So I told him, number one of the reasons you have an increase in claims or had an increase in claims with multiple body parts was a direct result of the change in law that Schwarzenegger pushed through as governor in 2004. You discussed it previously about the adoption of the AMA guides for rating permanent disability. And I told them, I said, you now have cases where somebody who was previously rated just for the results of a failed back surgery now gets rated for, believe it or not, sexual dysfunction in addition to that. And I said, that was a direct result. So now you have two different body parts that are rated. And, or you might get sleep disturbance as a result of it, or you may get the effects of medication on the body. So that's why you now have multiple body parts.
You know, Bob, I'm going to get back to you because, you know, there's a lot of complexities, and I know you're bringing up these things, secondary conditions, but also talk a little bit about what impairment means, and because what we're talking about is in blood pressure. We weren't the ones who passed this legislation that says you can get impairment for increased blood pressure if it can be found that there was some causal connection, not maybe total, but it could be a portion, but there is some causal connection. That's what the legislature gave us to work with. So don't blame the lawyers. Blame Arnold Schwarzenegger and the government.
And all of those factors of impairment have to be substantiated by objective medical evidence and testing, etc. And so that's what I told them. I also told them that because I represent police officers and firefighters, I said, I don't think you really understand or want to understand the effect of what we call cumulative or continuous trauma injuries. And I said, most of the firefighters and police officers are subjected to extremely arduous work activities over 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 years of their career. And as they get older, the body breaks down, and I gave him, and I think I sent it to you as well, I gave him photos of what a firefighter actually has to wear in terms of their, what we call turnout gear, their breathing apparatus, the axe, the hose, et cetera. And I said, as you pile that uniform onto a body, you immediately, the minute they put on the pants, the jacket, and the hat, they've added 45 pounds to their body. When you throw on the breathing apparatus, it's another 30 to 35 pounds. So I said to Jack, if you have a firefighter, male or female, who's worked 30 years on the job, putting on that uniform two or three or four times a week and wearing it for 3 or 4 hours at a time, what do you think is going to happen to the body of that individual as they reach 50 years old?
Right.
And
they're going
to have a bad back.
And Bob.
And he didn't want to hear it.
Well, I'm sure you didn't want to hear it, but other people don't want to hear it either because they say, well, that shouldn't be workers' comp. It's a person's choice. If they decide to be a firefighter, so they're going to have the effects, just like as a hockey player, you're going to get your teeth knocked out. You should accept that. But again, we do have workers' compensation for hockey players, baseball players, and football players. The point is this is the system. That's what I talked about before the break, the grand bargain. This is what we have, why we have insurance. And if people like it or they don't, you're giving excellent examples of how employment can take its toll on people. You know, we talk about people who are sexually harassed for years by Harvey Weinstein. Well, guess what? That's a workers' comp case if you worked for the guy, if you're an employee. And by the way, why don't we ever talk about employer fraud? We never see employer fraud. The misclassification of workers as independent contractors. We don't see underpayment of workers' compensation benefits, underreporting of number of employees. We never see that. And guess what? That's a bigger problem than the one or two, three, four, five bad apples that are in the workers' compensation system. And they should fry. But that's a minority of the people versus the legitimately injured, solid human beings that you and I both represent. Carrie.
Less than 2% of the fraud that occurs in workers' comp comes from the injured worker. The rest comes from the employer and physician. And, to write an article that just, in a broad brush, tried to lump together cumulative trauma claims, multiple body parts claims, and fraud, did an injustice to police officers, to firefighters, and all injured workers.
Right.
But they're getting away with it because people don't understand.
Right.
So they're getting away with
it. They don't understand
this.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
That's
true. Yeah, they don't
care.
That's
true.
Workers' comp.
You know, when we talk about, we haven't even talked.
What you brought up earlier.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I was going to say, we haven't even talked about utilization review. We have to cut it here. Utilization review where treatment is being denied by people involved in the management of the medical. I mean, that's a whole nother story that Jack Dolan, I guess, in the LA Times just aren't interested in, to see the amount of treatment that's being denied. And guess who's paying for it? We are. The public is, because people are going through the Medicare system. They're going going through Affordable Care Act. They're going through any kind of Medi-Cal. We are the ones that are paying. And I know you have a lot to say about that, Bob, but we're going to have to cut here. One last question. What can we do with this article? How are we going to get Jack to retract it or at least write something giving the other side of the argument?
Well, I don't think you're not going to get him to do it. You're not going to get the Times to do it, because I tried to do that with the last article that came out 3 or 4 months ago. I actually asked for a retraction for some of the stuff that was in there and spoke with their attorney about it. And they're not going to do it because it sells newspapers. I think we have to have more input from the labor side, from the workers. I know that firefighters and the police officers take a very active stand. They don't like what they read and see, that kind of stuff. So they have to contact the people in Sacramento to make sure that, that things don't turn against them. Your discussion previously on the proposed Commissioner Gaffney is so outrageous, and Governor Brown ought to be embarrassed about what he's doing there. And I've asked my associations, the ones that I deal with, to contact their senators and make certain that they don't vote to approve this individual.
Now, here I have a question.
The most important position.
We have to go soon here, so, and I just want to say, if you guys need to get something retracted, the way you do it is get all those injured people, the police officers, people who work in the fire department, people that are just your, average Joe people that have been injured, get them to protest. Get them to hold signs saying, why was this written? Why has our side not been told? Why is this going on? Here's the 2% of the fraud cases. Look at us. And that's how you do it. That's how you change things. You've got to get these people together and working together.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Bob. We have to take a break.
We're mad.
We're all mad here. And Monique Olivier is mad as well because she lost a case that she should have won. And it's not her fault. And we're going to find out what the heck happened at the Supreme Court on the Yelp case after this. Bob Sherwin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being with us. And we got to get to break. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I'm as happy as a clam.
Disclaimer, Geico cannot guarantee you will be, quote, as happy as a clam, unquote. The Geico legal team cannot accurately verify clams even experience the complex human emotional state known as happiness. As an invertebrate mollusk living half submerged on the ocean floor, with no arms, legs, or wireless access, what's there to be happy about? A clam's all like, oh, I'm so happy I didn't get turned into New England clam chowder today, pronounced regionally as chowda, chowda. Oh, that's so fun to say. What were we talking about again?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
That dollar in your pocket? It's worth more than you think. Because at Wendy's, a dollar's all you need to pick up the new Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. Hey, you deserve the most bang for your buck. Now you got it. Hot, crispy chicken topped with melty Monterey Jack and creamy Buffalo Ranch sauce. With this much flavor in one sandwich, a dollar's worth more than ever. The Dollar Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. More flavor, $1. For a limited time at Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's, price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
That dollar in your pocket? It's worth more than you think. Because at Wendy's, a dollar's all you need to pick up the new Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. Hey, you deserve the most bang for your buck. Now you got it. Hot, crispy chicken topped with melty Monterey Jack and creamy Buffalo Ranch sauce. With this much flavor in one sandwich, a dollar's worth more than ever. The Dollar Buffalo Ranch Crispy Chicken Sandwich. More flavor, $1. For a limited time at Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's, price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Works. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
One word, one text could land you $1,000.
Are you serious?
No.
Ah, that's awesome.
awesome.
It's 4K a day. Listen at 6, 9, noon, and 3. Hear the keyword and text it to 95819 for your shot at $1,000. And while $1,000 is a lot of money, it's not as valuable as your life. So please don't text and drive. But do text and win.
I'm Wendy. Keep listening to win $1,000 just like me.
It's 4K a day on your big money station, 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gerby's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, it seems like nothing's going right with our government, Governor Brown, with the media, the LA Times. Okay, Carrie, you sing it.
The Foolish Notion was great. Because we gotta have faith. We gotta have faith.
Good George Michael song. Yeah, we gotta have faith. We need something. We don't have any rationality, so we might as well have some faith. I do have to mention, because I got a comment during the break, that there were two other people who worked with Jack Dolan on that LA Times article. Ryan Menezes, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that wrong, Ryan Menezes and Gus Garcia Roberts. Gus Garcia Roberts, they both apparently are also responsible for the article. So Jack Dolan was the guy who was on McIntyre in the Morning earlier in the week here on ABC and was not on our show. We want to talk now about something else that's really disappointing in my view, and I'm sure in Monique's view as well. We want to welcome to the show Monique Olivier, who is the founding partner of Olivier Schreiber and Chow, and she represented Don Hassel, who is an attorney who got a bad review on Yelp, and they sued Ava Byrd, who was the client who gave the bad review. They recovered in a defamation lawsuit $550,000, asked Yelp to take down the review. Yelp refused. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that they could leave it up. Yelp could leave it up. We were blocking free speech. It was a 3-1-3 decision from the Supreme Court. Goodwin Liu's dissent was actually pretty, I think, right on point. But let's find out from Monique. Monique, welcome to Gerby's Law.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you. Tell us the background behind your representation of Ms. Hassel and how it all progressed before it went to the Supreme Court of California.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I came into the case at the appellate level. So Ms. Hassel, which as you know, is herself a lawyer, she initially prosecuted the case at the trial level on her own, and I think did a pretty fantastic job of sort of navigating the ins and outs of the case and the courts to try and get to the right result. We haven't gotten there yet, as you know, but the issue in the case is not just a bad review, but it was a false review. And so Ms. Hassel did everything in her power prior to litigation to get Ms. Byrd to take the review down, to get Yelp to take the review down. She expressly explained to Ms. Byrd that she was welcome to put critical remarks on Yelp, but she could not put false remarks on Yelp. And, you know, Ms. Byrd basically decided she didn't have any interest in cooperating. Ms. Hassel then went to Yelp, tried to get Yelp to take it down. Yelp said no way. Ms. Hassel proceeded through the court system, got a judicial finding that the statements in the review were false, therefore not protected at all by the First Amendment. And then that's where I came in. We started to climb the hill, the long hill up the appellate road to try and figure out whether the trial court did in fact have the power to tell Yelp, even though it was a non-party in the action, to take the false review down.
So it was proven that this was false, that this is defamation, right?
Absolutely.
So I am not understanding how it was not I am just really not getting how it was not upheld. If this is defamation, it's lies. First of all, why
Correct.
Would Yelp want to keep it up if it's already been ruled in a court that this woman is lying? Why would they want to keep it up? Second, why would it not be upheld?
Great questions, Carrie. So as to your first question, I think that's exactly right. And one of the things that, as consumers, I think we should all be concerned about. Yelp obviously is you know, a very popular website. Lots of people go on it. Lots of people look to their reviews, and they should be concerned if they're continuing to post information and keep information up on their website that courts have said are, you know, proven false statements. So I do think that that's a really significant issue in the case. And this notion, there's been a lot of noise around this being a First Amendment case by Yelp and its advocates, but it's certainly not a First Amendment case because there is no protection. First Amendment protection for lies is a really robust body of case law around why that's the case, that we just, there's no public value in sanctioning that kind of conduct. As to how the court was able to, Yelp was able to get the court to agree with it, that really turns on the existence of this federal act that was passed a few decades ago, the Communications Decency Act, and, right. and it really ends up being sort of, are the state courts stopped from having any kind of action taken against Yelp, any kind of government action taken against Yelp? The plurality opinion, as you guys have noted, by the California Supreme Court basically found that because of this federal law, that Yelp can keep the lies up in perpetuity. I obviously strongly disagree with that. I think Goodwin Liu gets the decision exactly right, that the law was never intended to give that kind of protection to Yelp and other online bulletin boards and posters.
What he said was just follow the order of the court. And that makes so much sense to those of us who are lawyers because we work so hard to present our cases in court. If we prevail, we would hope that everyone is bound by that, not just some people.
Right. And I think you have to think about it beyond the facts of this case, right? So you think about instances of hate speech and instances of revenge porn and things like that. The notion that what the California Supreme Court has said is that this federal law is going to immunize that kind of behavior, I think is a real, it's a real tragedy and a real risk that we are entering into an age where people, you know, bad actors out there are now going to feel emboldened to spread lies on the internet
right.
and be able to hide behind this notion that the internet companies are not going to be forced to take it down and they're just going to keep it up.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, I had, you know, I won a defamation lawsuit, and if it would have gone to, you know, the Supreme Court and they would have overturned it and this woman could keep spreading everything, where would my career be? What would people really think? I had to stop
her. Of course.
Well, can they, I mean, on Yelp, they can post what the court deemed defamation. They can post that and say, Yelp won't do anything about this, even though the courts deem this defamation. She can put that up there, correct?
You know, before you answer Monique, before you answer it, I just want to add to Carrie's question that it's more difficult and more complicated when you're a lawyer or a doctor because we have these confidentiality issues that we're dealing with our clients
right.
and with our patients. If you're a doctor, we can't say what we really want to because we are divulging confidential information.
Even in a lawsuit like this where lies were put, I'm sure there had to be
In a lawsuit, it's different, but apparently not on Yelp. Monique?
I think that's exactly right. I think the doctor is a great example. I mean, doctors are constantly in that position where they're due to HIPAA protection and patient confidentiality, a doctor cannot respond to a critical or potentially false posting on Yelp or other websites. And I do think that creates a really significant problem because how are we as lawyers and as doctors, how can we fight back? And Carrie, to your point, I mean, even when you're not in a kind of profession that has that kind of privilege, you're really taking away a very powerful tool. You're taking away the tool of defamation as you know, being able to go after people for defamation and get that kind of resolution. And I think it's unfortunate.
You know, when you're blocking free speech, people get up in arms. And I think we're all for free speech, First Amendment rights. But there has to be some limits. When you were involved with this case in the Supreme Court, was there a lot of talk about free speech? And were people kind of throwing that around like, don't stomp on free speech, let people say what they want, even if it isn't true, and even if a court has said that it's defamatory?
Yeah, there definitely was. We had a number of amicus briefs that were submitted, mostly in support of Yelp. And a lot of those briefs, in my view, were misguided in the sense that they really did sort of focus on this First Amendment issue. And we're talking about the circumstances that we have here are narrow. There's nothing in the case that suggests that merely critical posts have to be taken down. Or even if I had a post about me that I thought was a lie and I reached out to Yelp without having proven that it was a lie, the result that we were looking for in the case wouldn't allow me to get the remedy that I sought, you know, wouldn't force Yelp to take down a review just because I said, oh, that's a lie.
You
right?
know, there was
this actually requires proving it in court, which is not, you know, that's a fairly substantial step you'd have to go through to get the kind of relief we were asking
for. Right. And the other position, of course, is that if you would have prevailed, people would have thought that it was open season on internet companies and that it would have such an impact on reviews because Yelp would be forced, or Yelp or other platforms like Yelp would be forced to take them down. So I don't know if that played into the decision, but clearly people were protecting, and whether the money behind the technology companies were there to support this so that they wouldn't be impacted or not, it may have been a factor.
And question, if this woman who's, you know, that has been perpetrated against loses business, can she sue Yelp after proving, hey, you've lost me business by not taking down lies? Can you go and sue Yelp?
Right.
Okay, we only have 30 seconds.
Sorry.
What the California Supreme Court says to that is no. Mm. Now the question is, do we take this up to the U.S. Supreme Court and ask them to weigh in and try and resolve
yes.
the issue? Which
yes.
Might
work. Yes.
Go
please.
For it. Yes.
Yes.
And I also, if you check Dawn Hassel's page, the law firm page, there are a lot of supporters saying she's a fantastic lawyer, and apparently she's got a million reviews on Yelp. So check that out.
Good.
Do you know
knock
why,
that one down.
By the way, really quickly, why did that occur? People sympathetic to her?
Well, I think partly, I mean, Dawn is a great attorney, and I think most of the postings on there are people where
are legit.
Who she's represented.
Okay,
yes.
We got to run.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Monique, thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much, and good luck. We got to close it there. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.